at their will. Though he was smitten of God and afflicted, and though no man took his life from him, but he laid it down, yet the blood is required at their hands. And I tell you what, another generation is going to come. And I'll tell you, just understand, this does not mean that the men who shed the blood of Abel and Zacharias aren't guilty of the blood of Abel and Zacharias. What it means is, Abel's blood is going to be held against the Cain and all who did like him, all the way up to Jesus' generation. And the blood of Abel is going to be held against the men of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Christ, to the blood of the two witnesses which will be slain in the streets of that great city. From the blood at the beginning of the world to the end of the world is going to be held in account to the murderers. Because they're the same as their fathers. They bear witness that they allow the deeds of their fathers and that they are the same. You know, they build the sepulchers. What he's saying is you're building a monument to the destruction of a prophet. And God desires not monuments, but a body. Verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering ye hindered. Oh, think about that. That is so what we live in. The pastors, the ministers, the seminaries, they hold the key of knowledge. They open the door to understanding. But they keep people out. And they themselves do not go in. People come to them for understanding. But they themselves have not entered into the place of understanding, nor will they help anyone enter in. In fact, they hinder. By their false doctrines, by their handling the word of God deceitfully, by their heresies, by their sinful wickedness. It's a symbol. It's a powerful symbol. It doesn't mean that if they wanted to, they could just learn of God. What it is that's the way people look at them. They look to the wise. They look to them. We trust in the wisest and the strongest among us. And those are just the ones that God has blinded. They will hinder you. I tell you, I had one teacher, and that teacher did set me back. I felt helped along the way, but who knows, you know? But it was part of my walk. I regret it not. I don't. I don't regret any time I spent studying with Dr. Murray, my only teacher. But then after that, I didn't go to other teachers, because they would only hinder me as well and add confusion to my misunderstanding. And I see now the way I went was best. I studied the scriptures for myself. I didn't understand them. But then one day God opened my eyes. And it was always made plain. Always made plain. At least the whole vision of it anyways. The details? Yeah, there's details. There's problem with details as you go along. I mean, people say, oh, you think you know everything. No, not at all. You know, and I make mistakes. I do. You know, I think when I first talked about shaking the dust off your feet, I think I said, you know, you shouldn't go out and announce it. And then Jesus told them to announce it. Because I forgot that he said that. But the thing is, I'm not going to keep repeating that. See, the difference between making a mistake, a singular act of mistake, I can certainly do that. But to have leaven means it's part of your overall teaching that you repeat over and over again. It is something that is throughout your ministry. It is something like the rapture doctrine. It's not like one day I misremember a fact and get a date wrong or even an idea wrong where I say, this is the way I think he means it and it's wrong. I can certainly do that. But within what I hold to be absolutely true over and over again, the things I repeat, all the leaven's out. And of the new things that come to my mind as I read and I consider, and the Holy Spirit leads me, and my mind is also at work, I've got to consider and look again. But that pure doctrine that was delivered to me, that which has been revealed to me, I know it's true. Because it's the gospel. It's what gets me the new covenant. It's what gets me free. It's what frees me from my sins, and that I will not compromise. Verse 53, and as he said these things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. you know, they're getting so mad because he's saying things against them that what are they can't accuse him. He said we're inwardly wicked. They can't accuse him of that. You know, you laid people with burdens. They can't accuse him of that. You don't do what you say. You're hypocrites. None of that is anything they can accuse him of. He made us mad. They started to urge him. What about this? What about that? Huh? Why don't you say something about this? What did you say about the temple the other day? What was that again? What? Explain again. They really started to get him questioned. Oh, we'll catch him saying something. We'll get him saying something. One mistake.